everyone. My name's Johnny Scott, and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD, as we like to call it. This is the 11th in our series of podcasts, where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So, the digital landscape is changing at an incredible pace. Demands on IT to manage the complexity, keep costs down, and meet business needs are increasingly more important. So modern managed services can help you optimize your digital strategy by enabling you to adopt groundbreaking technologies in a simplified way to enhance the output of your organization. So as you can probably guess, today we're talking about managed services, and I have some industry experts to discuss the topic with me today. So to talk about this further, I have Keith Martin, Sales Director here at Phoenix.
Hi, Johnny.
Keith. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good. We have Ben Rayner, Solutions Business Manager here at Phoenix.
Oh, hi there, Johnny.
How are you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good stuff. And Dave Hardcastle, who is our Transformation Specialist here at Phoenix.
Good afternoon, Johnny.
Afternoon, Dave. So thanks for joining me today. And can we just start by going around each of you to give us a bit of a background on you, your experience within the industry and your roles here at Phoenix. So Ben, we'll start with you.
Yeah, that's great. No, thanks, Johnny. So I used to sit on the other side of the desk, so have some experience of managing IT environments and managing teams of people and doing some of that in-house and having support contracts out with third parties. And then I moved to this side of the desk to try and help our customers with their technology solutions that they're looking at, and hopefully, you know, advising them around solutions. But actually, what we're talking about today is actually supporting those solutions is actually something that actually we've got quite a bit of insight into that. So good to have a chat about that today, I think, guys.
Agree. Thanks, Ben. Dave?
Yeah, I guess similar to Ben in a way that I've kind of sat both sides of the fence. I've also actually ran service design businesses where I've looked at doing large outsourcing kind of deals. So richly spanning both, really, although my focus today is more around transforming data centres and end-user computing environments. But obviously that's always with a focus on what the user requires and what's important to them moving forward.
Brilliant. Cheers, Dave. Keith?
I've only sat on one side of the fence. So I've been in the industry working, you know, for a reseller for the best part of 20-odd years now. Seen a tremendous amount of change, lived through organisations who've had painful sort of managed service contracts, more to a new era now, which is really exciting to see and really relevant to the public sector customers that we serve.
Great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the introductions. So, first question, why do you think there is an increasing demand for managed services within the public sector specifically in today's world?
I think the way that we used to manage IT infrastructures is slightly changed to how it is today, really. And I think that we're seeing an evolution, really, in how people are starting to look after their IT environments. I think that's partly because there's a bit of we've moved from a world which has been very much around, we'll deploy this on site, we'll lock this down, and we'll let IT users use it, you know, in the way that we think they should be using it. And the world has changed into being much more around the users and managing and letting them use IT in the way that they want to use IT, and as such the support that needs to go with that is having to change, really. And that's means there's a bit of a shift, you know, within our customers.
I would agree, and I suppose if you think about public sector per se, and I know we've covered this in a variety of other pods as well, but the reasons are the same. If you think about why managed service might become more apparent now, the challenges that the public sector has faced over the years, the austerity that's mean that it's ripped the heart out of some of the staff that have just left, the skills shortage in the industry right now, what can we do, you know, how can we make sure they retain talent and actually use that talent to best enhance the business. You know, these organisations have to serve their citizens or their patients or their tenants or whatever it may be. And I think, as Ben alluded to, the way they manage IT now is very different. And the demands on them are very different.
Yeah, I think we've kind of seen a big move where there's a big expectation everywhere now within IT in terms of, I expect to get good return. What's that return really mean? So, you know, they're expecting, obviously, that IT is going to give more agility. Yeah, they expect, therefore, that the IT people running it get closer to the business, to the sharp end, that give a better a higher level of satisfaction to the users, mm-hmm. and that therefore draws on, you know, the staff involved. Yeah, of like, well, you know, do I have time just to keep the lights on? You know, I need to get to the forefront of the business. I need to be very much at the sharp end. I need to be making sure that the users are using the technology and getting the best out of it. So how can other people assist me, yeah, my skill set, yeah, to move me away from just keeping the lights on and actually deliver that high satisfaction to the end user?
I would totally agree. I think the lights on thing is absolutely key. I think if you roll back, that's what IT used to do. Now it's driving business forward.
Definitely. And I guess that leads us on to the next question. So what are the different trends that you guys are seeing out there in the field regarding customers supporting their IT infrastructure, whether that be on-premise or in a managed service or a big outsourcing contract or whatever it might be?
I think I've kind of, certainly from, I guess, past experience and more recently, is organisations going away from full outsource. So the whole idea of, you know, kind of always the view maybe was, look, you know, I'm not an IT business. IT is there to meet my business needs. You know, I'm not actually driving an IT business. So let's outsource it. And I think that organisations now realised, well, actually, no, IT is an intrinsic part of the business, and maybe we should outsource elements, or even more to the point, not really outsource, but have organisations that supplement what we do, yeah, that can actually add value to what we do, mm-hmm. not detract from what we do, but give us assistance so we can do it better.
I think it depends on the size of the organisation as well. You know, a lot of our smaller public sector customers haven't, you know, historically gone for that large outsourcing contract. They've run a lot of things, you know, in-house, and that's worked to a point. But I think we're, you know, technology's moved on, you know, quite a lot, and it's actually quite difficult now to find the staff, you know, around some of these more modern technologies, and retaining those staff once they've been skilled up, you know, they can sometimes drift to other organisations, can't they? But I think there's, you know, that's one of the challenges, that IT doesn't stand still,
and
skills need to move with that.
I think the perception thing, and you talk about supplementing what they do now, I think that's really important. So I think if you again roll back to old managed services, there was a perception that managed service all may mean it's staff tupid out or staff replaced. Because actually this supplements what they do. It actually frees up time to do other things. That's what we're starting to see in our customers anyway. So it's a very different mindset as to what customers are doing, I think.
I think the cloud as well, the public cloud has kind of driven a different mentality to IT on how it's consumed, and therefore how resources are consumed as well. So that's kind of, as well as what we mentioned earlier, is another thing that's drawing upon a different approach, yeah, to actually gaining assistance, gaining skill sets, and obviously gaining more towards the business drive.
A really good point, because the cloud side of things, we've witnessed and lived it, haven't we, over the last few years through our client base and the services we deliver to them. And, you know, cloud should never necessarily be lift and shift. But as they grow their cloud footprint, is how you optimize. And actually, as they grow their cloud footprint to deliver services, they don't necessarily want to worry about the optimization. That's where a supplemental service could come in, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you see cloud as an enabler for managed services then?
Yeah, definitely, because as most of us know, you know, it's very rare that anybody goes all the way to the cloud. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a transition process. Most people might remain hybrid, yeah, all their time on-prem and in the cloud. Mm. So, you know, it is that transformation of, as an organisation, learning those skills, adapting to that environment and picking up, yeah, both sides. And as we know, public and private environments are two totally different things, but somehow they've got to accommodate them both.
And I guess with public cloud, it's still relatively new in the industry. And with that, Keith mentioned skills shortages earlier. So I guess a managed service around public cloud could lend itself quite well to someone who wants to take advantage of some of those options that are available.
Yeah, it's having someone to hold your hand through that process. I think there's a lot of new stuff out there, and that's going to continue. And having some organisations will want to develop those skills in house, but you can't know everything about the hundreds and hundreds of services that are available in the public cloud, and therefore, you know, having a touch point of someone to assist with some of those is a good thing, really. Okay. I think you can get some better outcomes by doing that.
So do we have any real-world examples of customers who've changed their strategy recently or changed their focus around managed services? But please anonymise any customers for data protection purposes.
So we can't even do any rhyming of what they might be called or things like that. No, it's fine. I mean, Ben and Dave can talk in the detail far better than I can on this, but what we are witnessing across all the sectors we're supplying to, so be it blue light, police, fire, you know, police and fire and rescue, be it councils or NHS trusts or education customers, housing charities, all our customers are experiencing or being receptive to the conversation and are taking on some of the managed service offerings that we now have in the marketplace. And I'm sure they are also using managed services from other third-party providers. Yeah. So we've seen that shift. I mean, you might be a better place because, I mean, Dave especially, you've worked on some of those ones. So you might be, you've witnessed their thought process, how they've got to where they've got and what it actually means to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think mix and match, you know, quite a few are just looking at the old insurance kind of policy, which is, you know, maybe skill shortage or maybe, you know, in times of when they're struggling, when they've come to basically the end of their triaging, they can't resolve the problem. It's literally, you know, pick up the bat phone, somebody, a safe pair of hands to call to assist. So we're seeing a lot of those kind of reactive services where people are looking towards requiring that. Some of those are very much more proactive, like on the learning standpoint, where it's come in and educate me, or is it come and show me how I can better utilise this technology, how I can actually get more agile, yeah, within the environment. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing those kind of areas. And then I suppose on the other side, it's that 70% keeping the lights on. Well, if you can like reduce that number and take me down to only 40% of my time is keeping the lights on, therefore 60% of my time is doing more things effective for the business, that would help me. So things like patching services. So we're kind of seeing that, you know, we'll patch the environment up for them, mm-hmm. and that therefore yeah. takes some of that mundane task yeah. away mm-hmm. and allows them to actually, you know, go and do more productive things for the business.
And do you think that actually also impacts retention of talent? Because for someone who's doing the repetitive job all the time to keep the lights on, to be, you know, empowered to look at new technologies and skilled up in those to drive the business forward, I think that would help with retention.
Well, I don't know.
I
love patching.
Yeah,
no,
no, I agree.
You're right. Yeah. And you know, some of those mundane tasks, you know, if you can spend time not doing those and doing nothing like that, then that's great. But I think a lot of organisations have always relied on third parties as well. When I say third parties, I actually mean third party vendor support. You know, for that picking the back phone up. I've got a problem. It's really broken. You know, kind of help, and that's still a very valid route that's out there. But I think, you know, we are seeing the costs for some of those becoming
Absolutely.
More than they have been, and the requirements for customers are changing really. So that's still a very valid route, is the third party support, and but I think that we've got other options that customers are looking at as well now.
I would agree, and I think you're right that those contracts, depending on what they are, can be sort of price sensitive for a public sector body anyway, and sometimes they perhaps just want something a bit more agile and work with a partner who can deliver that. I mean, it's horses for courses, I guess, but it's the ability to work with a customer on a one-to-one basis, on a personal basis. And sometimes you know, there's a big difference between a big multinational vendor and a trusted reseller relationship, isn't there?
Definitely. Yeah, that agility, being able to, you know, flexibly you know, roll your sleeves up and assist sometimes is what's needed to resolve problems quickly, isn't it?
Yeah, more often than not, it's not just one vendor, is it? I mean, if you kind of look at it, you know, the technologies that most organisations are dealing with are multi-vendor.
Great point.
And the problem straight away is well, it's all well and good. We've got this great support contract with, you know, a fourth line vendor. But, you know, what happens if it's the usual kind of thing where I don't want finger pointing, or it might be you. It's relying on somebody who's, you know, can look
at
the landscape
solving,
overall.
Don't
yeah,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely.
But your question, Johnny, was around you know, examples. Mm-hmm. But you know, we've seen, you know, without naming customers, but we've seen larger outsourcers delivering support for many years to some of our customers, and they've found that, you know, quite inflexible. You know, I'd like an IP address changed, or I'd like a new VLAN setting up, or can you give this third party software vendor access to our network to do something, and that lot can, that kind of thing can just take, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks yeah. to get changed or implemented. So, you know, starting to consider, well, actually, should we be bringing back some of those services that we've traditionally outsourced back in-house? There's been a bit of a trend for that, really.
I think it's also worth just thinking about scale, Johnny. You talk about the customers, but it's also sort of the type of customers. And these could be, it doesn't matter whether you're a 50-seat organisation or a 25, 30,000-seat organisation. I think if you roll back a few years, the outsource contracts have always been to be big organizations or managed services used to be maybe central government or things like that. It doesn't matter these days. We are helping solve problems, and just because it's called managed service, you know, that's what it is. You're solving a problem, and the problem that 50 seat organization has with one person who knows a bit of IT but just needs someone to help them, and that as Dave alluded to, that insurance policy, through to a 25,000 seat who's going to have a very complex environment that he's supporting. But both are relevant, but both will benefit from a managed service type agreement.
So we've talked about a number of different types of managed services there. So, you know, you've got your proactive monitoring, your support, first line, third line, managed security, managed backup, managed DR. Mm. There's a lot out there for people to kind of digest and analyse and see whether it's right for them. Are we seeing any common themes within any of our sectors specifically? Different types of managed services that might be more common than others?
I think each business needs to go and look at what's going to add the most value to them. What is, as go back to Dave's point about that, you know, if you're spending 70% of your time keeping the lights on, what's going to have the biggest impact to take me to lower that number, really? So I think each organisation's going to be different. The logical thing is, back, you know, some of those mundane things, let's, you know, take those off. So that's, I think, one line of thought around what kind of matters. How can we reduce some mundane stuff? The second line is that I want a third line support. I want, you know, in that when it's all gone wrong, who can I pick the phone up? So I think customers are looking at it from those two different angles, really. Proper tech support, but also, you know, reduction of the mundane stuff, really.
I agree. And I suppose you throw into the mix as well. I mean, we're talking about tech support and proactive patching and what we do in the cloud, but, you know, we've covered it in another pod again. We also do software asset management as a managed service, and that goes back is it mundane or whatever you're doing around software asset management? But again, you're optimizing that cost. You're taking a pain point of managing licensing away. You're passing off to a trusted partner who you know will try and drive that cost down for you, but also you save you a phenomenal amount of time, which is probably a common theme about the way the managed services are operating in the marketplace right now.
So what are some of the challenges and pitfalls of moving to a managed service?
That's a good question. I think you've got if you're transitioning your service away from delivering stuff yourself and letting a, you know, another organisation take care of some of that, then you've got, there's obviously security considerations that need to be thought about. So that's something that should be top of everyone's agenda, really, is ensuring that the organisation that you're, you know, going to bring into the fold to look after your systems is got, you know, necessary security, you know, ISO accreditations and things like that, that their processes are going to be robust. So that's not really a pitfall, but that's just a serious consideration that people need to look at.
It's really interesting, that point, actually, because I read something recently saying that MSPs are one of the biggest targets for hackers at the minute, because they've got hundreds of customers potentially that they have access to. If they can bring them to the system. That's really important point that you mentioned there, Ben, about someone who's credible, got the right skills, the right accreditations, the right people backing that service. Definitely.
Yeah, so I think that's a primary thing. I think, you know, but then there's the sort of handover of knowledge as well to a little bit. We've had some experience where some customers have just gone, well, just come in and manage it, and we've had to then, you know, start from the ground of let's do some discovery and see what you've got. Some of our customers don't know quite what they've got or how many switches they've got around the building and where they're located. So, you know, that's something. So that onboarding thing is important, either from a, we've got lots of information, we want to impart it to you, Mr. Third Party Service Provider, or actually we've got nothing, can you come and help? Yeah. So, yeah. The onboarding and the security for me.
I think for me there's also the internal selling as well, you know, the organisation looking to bring on board a managed service. It's selling it to their internal staff on the benefits and obviously making sure that the staff feel comfortable that this isn't coming in to replace them, that it is something to supplement them and allow them to move on to better things. And sometimes that can be a little bit of an awkward conversation to have internally within the organisation. I think the other side as well is, again, I think the cloud has helped enable this, which is there was the usual kind of thing of, well, you've got to be on site to support me. Yeah, my staff are on site to support me. You need to be on site to support me. And, you know, in reality, as we know, we've got remote tools, we can get in, we're secure, that kind of thing. We don't need to be on site. But that was always a little bit of an issue, I suppose, going back, a few years ago.
Yeah.
But again, with the cloud now, well, I can't get to the cloud. Can't physically go knocking on a cloud provider's door saying, let me in. Yeah, I have to get in remotely. So again, that's kind of pacified that and kind of brought that more up to date and made that a little bit easier now as well.
I think, it covers both what you guys said is for me, trust. You know, I believe a managed service is a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about insurance policies, I don't know about you guys, but there'll probably be certain insurance companies I wouldn't want to engage. I don't know enough about them. You know, you wouldn't trust them to be that. And it probably goes on to the devils in the detail. I think we talk about some of the previous managed services we've seen, and you've all seen horror stories in the press, and sometimes there can be services out there that just tie people up in contractual knots or have some response times that just aren't realistic for a 24/7 999 service. So it's really working on a trust basis, delivering the outcomes the customer wants in a partnership sort of environment. And that's where I think you get a win, and that's where I think you really have the customer working with you and you working with them to move them forward without the risk of job losses or things like that, because they understand what you're trying to achieve.
Definitely. So where do people start when choosing a managed service provider? So they know they want to do something, they know it's going to add some value to the business. How do they go and find someone who's credible and ticks all the boxes that we've just talked about?
Just give us a call.
I was going to say do a Teams meeting, Dave, but
I think there's... I think you need to shop around. I think you do need to go and understand, what different services, different organisations are offering, and speak to some of the people that they're, delivering, services for, really, to see how it's working for them. Every organisation is different. Back to the point about, having, staff, IT staff already on premise, working for you and what their future role's going to be. And I think that needs some consideration. But I think point that you either go for a very tailored managed service, or you go for something that's actually quite simple and repeatable. Because there's some benefits from that. If an organisation is delivering if a managed service partner is delivering a very repeatable service, then you as a customer will know exactly what you're getting, and you can see that they've got processes in place, to deliver that. So there are some benefits from having a very set service with defined SLAs and set processes. But there are some benefits from having some bespoke ones as well.
So find someone that's flexible in that sense. Yeah. That can go either way.
And I think if I was kind of in their shoes, I'd always be thinking, right, what are my real pain points? Yeah, where do I need help? And kind of like itemise them, and then kind of from that, look at, well, what kind of service would meet my needs?
Where we sit, we want to deliver that value. We want an ongoing relationship with those customers. So actually, we need to be solving those pain points for them. So actually, they want the long-term relationship with us. I don't think this is going to be a quick, I need a managed service for a year. I think this is transformation for a customer. It's part of how they're going to have to operate moving forward. And I think you'll probably see these services evolve over time. I know ours will.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really exciting opportunity for customers to help drive their business forward.
Definitely. Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I think that's probably a good note to end on there. Thanks for joining me. It's a pleasure to have you all, as always. And like you say, I think we've captured some really good content there. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any of the points further. And if you do want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod.